This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2048. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded August 20th. Antarctica, Austria, Belarus, Canada, China, Congo, Cuba, Germany, Christmas Island, Korea North, Laos, Madagascar, Mali, Mexico, Peru, Puerto Rico, Russia, South Sudan, Tibet, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, LRA 36 Antarctica was missing from its Saturday broadcast on August 15th, but had resumed for its Wednesday broadcast August 19th. Via remote receiver in Brazil on 15475.98 USB and reduced carrier, I heard it on the air between 1456 and 1622. August 19th. So should be on the air again Saturday, August 22nd from about 1630. John, a successful YouTube entrepreneur who apparently turns his profits there into buying shortwave airtime, says there will be a special broadcast of his Voice of the Report of the Week, VORW, via 300 kilowatt transmitter in Austria. This is Saturday, August 22nd at 17 UT on 6070. A fun hour of good music and commentary and listener music requests. Richard Langley in New Brunswick was trying to keep up with the situation in Belarus by listening to the official station, Radio Belarus International, which, as we said last week, has an English broadcast via Germany, 3985 at 1930 UT. He was monitoring August 16th when there was thunderstorm static, but no coverage of the protests in Belarus. The first item in the news was about new house construction, and on their English website, no mention of unrest in the country. You could hear that, of course, via remote receiver. Christian Milling of the German Relay Shortwave Service replied, "Parts of the Belarusian radio and TV are on strike. They already produced shows up to 29 August. If demands are not met, such as free election, release of all prisoners, investigation, and stepping down of the leader, they'll uncover all cruelty." Also note, on the former jamming transmitter tower, the white-red-white flag was raised. Richard Langley replies, "The newscast in their online stream on 17 August at 12 UT seemed dated. An item on election results, congratulations to Lukashenko, received from fellow dictators. But they appear to be recycling old news." Then on 18 August, the shortwave service relay at 19:30 had nothing about the ongoing situation, except for mention of a phone call between the Belarusian and Finnish foreign ministers on the situation. News was mostly about strong economic developments. Our longtime listener of several decades, Mike Cherry, VE7SKA on Salt Spring Island, BC, has a motto, "Medium Wave, the Final Frontier," and has news of a new station and a reactivated frequency from Vancouver, 600 kilohertz. On August 13th, CKSP signed on today, using varying power levels, testing its new transmitter and antenna combiner in tandem with co-sited 980 CKNW. Don't think it's using full power yet. It will be 50 kilowatts day, 20 at night, into a two-tower directional array. Slogan, Share Punjab Radio in Punjabi and Hindi. It's already been airing this programming on 1550 KRPI across the border in Washington. Almost every morning before or after 14 UT, I tune way out of band for CNR1 jammers, which are mainly against Sound of Hope, but sometimes against VOA, Radio Free Asia, or Radio Taiwan International, especially if the frequencies are in band. Just as an example, here are the ones I found on August 19th and the few minutes before 14 UT. There's never exactly the same selection of frequencies from one day to the next, especially since Sound of Hope jumps around. 13835, 13130, 170, 020, 12210 and 190, 11460, 440, 150, 120, 100, 10920 on the 9 MHz band 300, 280, and 215. In Rusty X, 2DXers report receiving notice from China Radio International's Russian language service that we will not provide a QSL card for listener reports due to reduction in working budget as a result of reforms. Same wording both to Dmitry Elagin and Igor Kolka, the latter saying, most likely, distribution of verification cards for all language services of China Radio International has been stopped, but not yet confirmed. 6115 is an interesting frequency around 06UT when there are only two stations it could be, Japan and Congo. However, it's after sunrise in Congo and well before sunset in Japan. Ron Howard upon Asilomar State Beach, California says, my observations here on the coast are that at 0647, it would have to be Japan. Congo starts out very weak about 0528, and the signal slowly improves and then goes downhill. So by 0600, it is mostly gone. Sometime after 06, I start to make out the music from Japan as it steadily improves. On a daily basis, the quality of the Congo signal varies a great deal. And on August 20th, it came on at 0524. I would add that since it's equatorial, there's very little variation in the fade-out time from Congo, while from Japan, the fade-in time varies a great deal over the year, much earlier in our northern winter. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. Some days, but certainly not every day, extremely distorted spur blobs spew out of the 13,700 kHz transmitter. When I monitor a few minutes before 14UT, this was the case on August 15th and on the 16th, when I put the approximate frequencies of the spur blobs as follows. 13357, 13426, 13495, 13563, 13632. And on the plus side, 13769, 13827, 13906, and 13975. These were at approximate 69 kHz intervals, up to the fifth multiple of that, more than usual. The two closest pairs were very strong, trailing off to the edges, which were just barely audible, but revealed by the F-sharp tone above middle C, which accompanies these. On Friday, August 14th, I checked out the test broadcast of Uncle Bill's From the Isle of Music and Melting Pot via Channel 292 Germany 9670, scheduled from 16 to 18UT. Around 17, when it was transitioning from one program to the next, it was 10 over 9, but soon faded down and just about out by 1720. There was to be another test like that on August 21st, 1 week later, but Bill changed this to UT August 23rd, Saturday evening, that is UT Sunday, between 04 and 06 UT on 9670, when he thought there would be a fair chance that at least the melting pot would be listenable in parts of eastern North America. To be followed by Radio Waves International, another very pleasant music program, at 06. Bill says we'll be continuing on 6070 anyway, as long as propagation permits. Of course, in North America, we hear UBMB via WBCQ Sundays at 22 to 23 UT on 7490 variable. He says the August 23rd show features rock, blues, and psychedelic folk from South Korea. Good sign of the oncoming fall medium wave DX season is a just barely audible, or even better than barely audible carrier I get on 846 kHz around 06 UT, such as August 17th. That's too late to be from Europe, where there are only low-power stations anyway, but not too late to be from Christmas Island in Kiribati. They have a 10-kilowatt transmitter on that frequency. Unlike the rest of the country, far to the west, Christmas Island is due south of Hawaii, which means it's already after sunset there around 0430. Here's this week's report from Ron Howard about the jump-around frequencies of the South Korean clandestines for the North as of August 17th. Checked at 1400, VOP on 3480, 3915, 3930, 4450, 6520, and 6600. And earlier at 1344, VOH was on 3990, 4885, 6000, 6250, mixing with North Korea's Echo of Unification, parallel 5905, 6355 and 9100. At 1344, they were in progress with news in English and Korean. But it was actually Olds from August 3rd, apparently intended as a language lesson. The third station, Voice of Freedom, still on 5920 in the clear. Super jamming still up on 6045. Juan says also, a first time for him to hear Echo of Hope, VOH, on 9100 when it's signed off at 0500 after an instrumental version of The Sound of Silence. X135 is not currently a Korean radio war frequency, so Dan Sheedy in California reports Madagascar there, August 15th from 1329 past 1400. DJ with cheerful chat in Malagasy, nifty local pop, apparently adds at 1358, and chat across the top of the hour. The transmitter did cut out for 1 or 2 minutes several times. The military coup in Mali quickly drew our attention to the only shortwave frequencies of the national broadcaster there, ORTM. August 18th at 2325, 5995 was on the air as usual, but a very poor signal at that time, squeezed between Cuba and Cuba. It goes off at midnight UT ordinarily. I thought it might stay on all night, but it was not. Nothing there at 0116 check. And Manuel Mendez says, 5995 opened at about its usual time on August 19th, 0550. African songs, 0600 instead of interval signal. ID in French and comments. There were no comments, no news, only nonstop African songs. The day frequency to check is 9635. And Wolfgang Büschel says the Bamako relays of China Radio International continued as usual the following day. Mild under Mexico, but certainly and none applies doubly. This from Radio Insight, August 16th, by Lance Venta, sent on to us by Artie Bigley. According to an August 16th FCC report, China-owned operator seeks permission to continue operating 690 XEWW. After ordering H&H USA's Chinese U-Radio 690, XEWW Rosarito, Mexico, to cease operations, and dismissing their special temporary authorization and applications in June because they failed to include the Chinese government-owned Phoenix Radio U.S., H&H's subsidiary GLR Southern California has reapplied for permission to operate XEWW, adding Phoenix as an operator, on the basis that they were unaware of any formal complaints being submitted to the FCC in the time this station has been programmed in Mandarin Chinese about the content of these broadcasts. The stations, which never stopped broadcasting despite the previous FCC order, also filed an STA to continue those broadcasts while the application is pending. So we have Chinese communist programming being broadcast into Southern California from Mexico. Reporting to the International DX Digest of DX News and the National Radio Club, James Niven in Cedar Creek, Texas, just southeast of Austin, has been pulling in South Americans on medium wave, notably Peru, which is rarely reported from any part of North America, on 1110 OAU4J Radio Feliz in Lima, July 2nd at 0259, atop the channel, a male speaking, some Peruvian music, and ID then, after 0300 as Radio Feliz in Lima. There were time pips, just 12 short and one long one, which is unusual, and more such programming thanks to Jan Alvestad of the Real DX Group for helping him identify it. He also heard this on July 15th and July 21st, so a regular visitor, a new country for him in Texas. He also notes a number of Colombians at various times in July, the ones on 570, 770, 1100, and 1170, and 1520, and 1580. Via international vacuum, internet, AM, FM, and shortwave, World of Radio 2048. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, where among many of the things you will find a complete schedule of all World of Radio broadcasts, shortwave or otherwise, and how to hear us on podcasts. Our thanks this week for financial support from Samuel Sanchez, location unknown, a podcast listener who sent a contribution via PayPal in U.S. funds, but not necessarily, as they will convert to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Occasionally, the summer storm noise level is far enough away and low enough to allow some DX again on the beacon band, mostly from Canada and the U.S., but be careful, you might even hear some other entity. On 391 kHz, August 18th at 0638, I was hearing beacon DDP, which is 1,000 watts from San Juan Dorado, Puerto Rico. I had logged it previously, but rarely this year in January and March. The distance is 3,676 kilometers or 2,284 statute miles. Radio.ru via RustyX, headline Saja and Yakutia. The programs of Radio Purga in DRM format, widely advertised several years ago, are still broadcast from Komsomolsk on Amur in the direction of Saja and Yakutia. They have not gone beyond the test stage, however, for the summer season. They are broadcasting only music, nonstop, on this schedule. 20-23, 9850. 23-04 UT, 12025. And 04-10 on 15735. Transmitter power is 20 kilowatts. The expected COVID-19 special program extension from iRadio for South Sudan never appeared, although it was supposed to start August 1st. Now Ivo Ivanov has another new schedule to go into effect September 1st, maybe. So here's the full schedule of iRadio. 0359 to 457 on 7340 Monday through Friday via Vatican. 1559 to 1657 Monday through Friday on 15410 via France. And then tacked on extensions during 45 minutes after each of this. 0459 to 545 on 11650 via Madagascar. This is supposed to be daily, unlike the previous broadcast weekdays only. And finally, 1659 to 1745, the same frequency and the same site, 15410 via France daily. There's supposed to be a number of native languages and English included. Mainly, of course, in Juba Arabic. Dan Shidi in Encinitas, California reports on 7255, Xizhang PBS, Lhasa, Tibet. August 14th at 1323 with cool tribal Tibetan music, consisting of droning group vocals, percussion, and strings. It did not seem parallel to 6200 underneath Voice of Jinling, but perhaps it was slightly out of sync since 6200 is listed as the Lhasa Baiding site west of there on the G318. I guess that's a highway. Ron Howard reports on 6130, Xizang PBS Lhasa, August 17th at 1342, another day with nice clear reception, and parallel to 6200. Laos was certainly off 6130. If they were broadcasting, he's sure he would have had some trace of another station. But it was only Tibet. Even when the sporadic E maximum usable frequency does not exceed 88 MHz for FM DX, it may exceed 28 MHz for some DX on the 10-meter hamband beacon area. Here are some of those I have heard more than once, such as on August 15th and 16th. No point in giving the exact time, since whether you will hear them depends on whether you have a sporadic E opening between you and them. 28290.8, K5TLJ in Arkansas. 28214, N4PAL in Florida. 28217.5, K4PAR in Georgia. 28289.3, WJ50 in Alabama. And he's the one who has a list of hundreds of these beacons on his website. It's the essential reference for this kind of DXing. 28286.5 WB0BIN in Minnesota. Most but not all of these add a slant B for beacon after their call sign. And if, like me, you can't copy Rapid CW, you have plenty of chances to hear these repeating their identification message. And some of them even do it both in fast and slow words per minute. A lot more press and discussion this week about the U.S. AGM controversy. The New Republic, August 13th, has an opinion piece by J.C. Pan headlined, America needs its own BBC to restore public trust in the press. The few public broadcasting institutions existing here already, which are often forced to rely on listener and viewer donations to keep afloat, have been under attack for decades from conservatives and free market champions. The Trump administration has repeatedly sought to cut funding to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which supports NPR, PBS, and local public television stations. Trump has also attempted to commandeer Voice of America, the state-funded media service that broadcasts news about the U.S. to international audiences for its own propaganda purposes. Next, a story by David Wellner at National Public Radio, August 15th, which I saw via KALW's website in San Francisco. Purge of senior officials at foreign broadcast agency stirs fear and outrage. A sweeping purge of executives at U.S. government media outlets widened this week. At least 6 of the top 10 executives at the U.S. Agency for Global Media were removed from their posts on August 12th. Critics say the house cleaning threatens to destroy the firewall meant to separate government news entities from the White House. They warn it could turn broadcasters such as VOA and RFE into distributors of propaganda on behalf of the Trump administration. Trump's new CEO, Michael Peck, made public a confidential July 97-page report from the Office of Personnel Management that faults screening of foreigners working at USAGM and the entities it oversees, criticizes the agency for overstepping federal rules by requiring extensive information about the personal finances of those being vetted. Michael Peck's predecessor, John Lansing, who is now NPR's president and CEO, sharply criticizes the latest personnel ousters. He says Peck's attempt to discredit them is merely a smokescreen for his attempt to dismantle the legitimate editorial independence of VOA in favor of propagandizing the agency to favor the administration. Peck will likely have some explaining to do when he appears before a September 24th hearing of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, which has oversight of USAGM. The Guardian has a story, August 14th, by Julian Berger. Trump administration steps up efforts to turn broadcasters into propaganda outlets. 7 senior officials had their security clearances withdrawn this week, making it impossible for them to continue in their roles. Michael Peck is a Trump supporter and ally of right-wing ideologue Steve Bannon. Yes, we have heard that he has been criminally charged, but we're not getting into that here. Continues, career officials have in several cases been replaced by political loyalists. Politico reported that a controversial former radio talk show host had been hired as a senior advisor to USAGM leadership. A CNN investigation found that Frank Wuko, W-U-C-O, had a record of outrageous insults and groundless claims. He called President Obama a Kenyan and referred to the Democratic congressional leader Nancy Pelosi as a Nazi and claimed former CIA Director John Brennan had converted to Islam. Kim Elliott forwards news from VOA that USAGM is reviving the Office of Internet Freedom, OIF, created in 2016 but had ceased operations. But furthermore, Michael McCaul, ranking Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, tweeted, USAGM has finally transferred funding to the Open Technology Fund for July, 2 months late. So Kim says USAGM is providing money for both OTF and the revived OIF, putting them in competition with each other. Bureaucracies duplicating and competing with each other is an old tradition in U.S. government international broadcasting. Unless you get our podcast immediately, early UT Fridays, here are the first air times on WRMI when you may hear us on shortwave. Friday at 2200 UT on 9955. UT Saturday at 0130 now, also on 9955 and 7780. Saturday at 1300 on 15770. UT Sunday at 0300 on 5800. 5800 and 9955 are aimed south-southeast, but especially the lower one can be well heard off the back across much of North America. And then we have multiple times, early UT Mondays, on Sunday evenings in North America. In the Ontario DX Association, Mark Cody raises an interesting question. He is upset that the last remaining relay of Radio Tirana on WRMI 15770 Tuesday at 2030 has now been replaced by something else, Memphis Weirdos. He says, I fully understand that paying customers rule the day, but my question is there a way that SWLs can band together and pay for WRN, World Radio Network programming? I'd like to see Radio Australia and Radio New Zealand via WRMI. How much would that cost? Big news of the week broke shortly after last week's World of Radio, thanks to Stephen Luce, who sent it on to us first. It's from RadioInsight.com, where Lance Venta covers routine transactions, mostly in domestic broadcasting. But this one was beyond that. Family Broadcasting Corporation is selling shortwave Christian World Harvest Radio, WHRI, Furman, South Carolina, to Alan Weiner for $1.25 million. Weiner also owns Shortwave Talk, The Planet, WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, also AM and FM stations. I replied, wow, what a deal. Seems like a bargain depending on how many Furman transmitters are really operable. There was not a hint from Alan before this was in the offing. We can only hope it is not financed by World's Last Chance or some equally odious entity, and that WBCQ programming will actually be radiated. John Jurasek says, I imagine this was financed by the Flat Earthers, since they have very deep pockets. A. Ludwig says, at least they found someone to take the station after nobody wanted Palau anymore. Stephen Luce asks, will the lower-powered WBCQ transmitters in Maine stay on the air, or will everything outside the 500 kilowatt get moved to Furman? One of the comments at swling.com is from Tracy K. Wood, who says you can read the actual asset purchase agreement at fccdata.org by keying in WHRI and search for the transactions. Note that the 500 kilowatt unit is referred to as WBCW in the official filing. So we wonder if that's a typo or if it's actually the call sign. And hey, Hans Johnson cleared $37,500 in the sale as broker. It sure pays better than being a QSL manager. Hans Johnson was, of course, the founder of Jihad DX, later renamed less controversially Cumbre DX. Alan referred to this only very briefly in the final minute of Worldwide on August 15th, but later replied to my inquiry. Hi, Glenn. Yes, we are buying WHRI, all for free speech radio, all to keep the shortwaves alive. As nations around the world are tearing down the irreplaceable shortwave infrastructure, we are doing our best to keep it alive for now and future generations. This is very important, as no other system can get the word out like shortwave radio. Google, Facebook, Microsoft, the NAS can't control and snoop in on everything. And yes, World's Last Chance programming will be featured on the station, as, no matter what, our blessed Father in Heaven is the reason we and the shortwaves are here. That's an exact quote from Alan Weiner. Meanwhile, the Weiners and the Wills have started a new old-time radio block on the 6160 transmitter they're calling Area 61. Old-time, spelled with a Y, radio programs Monday through Friday from 23 until 01 UT. There's been a continuing pattern of programs since August 17th, and I guess it will be continuing. Gene Shepard, Chicken Man, Dragnet, Superman, and Gunsmoke, among others. On Fridays, it's only 1 hour before Worldwide, starting at midnight UT Saturday. Ron Howard continues to monitor Radio Vanuatu on its third harmonic, 11835. As of August 18th, there are approximately 1 hour language segments at 0230 in French, 0330 in English, and after 0430, all in Bislama. With many calls from various provinces to report about last month's Independence Day celebrations, but many words in English, so easy to follow the general content. There were a good number of IDs as Radio Vanuatu Voice Blong Yumi. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder, August 17th. Geomagnetic field quiet, ANK indices of 5 and 2, except unsettled to active August 30th, 16 and 4. Solar flux peaking slightly to 73 between August 30th and September 5th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2048, inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.